Thanks so much for joining us online today. We're always encouraged to hear stories of how lives are being changed by the message of grace all around the world from what we do right here in Longwood, Florida. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please send it to stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support the mission and the ministry of Grace Church, you can give conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much again for joining us today.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Grace Church this morning. Happy Easter. If you're on the live stream, welcome you guys as well. Good morning to you. He really, really did it. I tell you, if you watch that video and you put yourself in the story, you imagine what they were going through, right? It's easy for us. We have the end. We know what the answers are. But in this moment, here's Jesus' best friends, the disciples, those that were closest to him, scattered. They were afraid. They were in hiding. Many of them were in hiding and totally just fearing the worst. Even though they had walked with Jesus, even though they had heard all of the things he had said, even though they had watched all the miracles. I mean, we just talked last week about feeding thousands of people with some loaves and fishes. They saw all of these things, and yet they still found themselves in hiding, scared, not understanding what had happened. Then they find a stone that's been rolled away. They have guards that were scared for their lives. They found a burial mass that was folded and tucked away. This wasn't their job. This wasn't their work. They were terrified. They were confused, and they were defeated. Their Jesus, our Jesus, the Prince of Peace, was gone. But could it be, just like in this video that we just watched, could it be that he had risen just as he said, that not even death could hold him? The same one that brought others to life, would he himself be unable to be held by death itself? And I love that in the weeks and the months, we know that in the years to come, they would meet in homes, they would meet in temples, they'd meet on street corners, they'd meet anywhere wherever their feet, thank you, yeah. When you have two of them, it's feet. When their feet would take them to various places all across the world where they would talk about this person that we're celebrating this morning, that they would talk about Jesus. The spirit of revelation inside of them would speak to who he was. He is the Christ. He is our victorious Christ. And we sit here thousands and thousands of years later still talking about Jesus, still talking about this victorious Christ that we worship. And we're still blown away at the kindness of God, blown away at his kindness. And that is what I want to speak to for just a few moments. Because see, this display of kindness is what comes natural for him. It's a part of his nature. This is a way that he sets himself apart from all of the counterfeits. There are all of the other gods that are claimed to be gods or that we know are counterfeits. Out of all of them, you will only find one God that is a kind God. You can research any other religion. You can look at any other belief, and you will not find songs that speak to the kindness of God the way that ours do, because kindness is not displayed in any other way except the way that God displays it to us. It's not just doing a good deed, right? We, in our language, we hear this word kindness, and you think of a favor. Somebody did something for you, or there was something that was very kind, but instead, kindness as revealed by our Father looks like Jesus. Let's look at that this morning in Titus 3. Paul, who had received revelation, is now sharing this with all of us, and he says, "But when the kindness of our God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." When the kindness of God appeared, when it appeared, when the kindness of God appeared, when the love of man, for God's love for all of us, when it appeared, it looked nothing like we thought. It looked like Jesus. We asked to see the Father. We said, we want to know this God, Jesus. We thought those who followed Jesus thought he was a great teacher, that he was speaking great wisdom. And they said, "Well, show us the Father. We want to know this God. Show us, let us see him." And he says in John chapter 14, he says, "Look, if you've seen me," let me make a very, very bold claim about myself. "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You have seen God." In other words, all of you that are asking to see God, you're staring into the eyes of God right now. I mean, just imagine what it must have been like. And when we looked into the eyes of Jesus, we saw the kindness of God. When John described him, he says, you know, it wasn't just the kindness of God that we saw. It wasn't just that the love of mankind is what we saw. No, John says in John chapter 1 that when we saw Jesus, we saw something called grace. It was something totally not of this world. We saw grace. We thought God was angry. We thought he was putting up with us. And that's still what religion teaches today, isn't it? That God is just one mistake away from cutting you off. That God is just one step away from booting you out of the family. You can pick any of them, and he's a very fickle God who is angry and just one mistake away from kicking us out. And then Jesus shows up, and we see kindness. When the kindness of God appeared, Paul continues and he says, he saved us. Three incredible words that we reflect on this morning, that when God's kindness appeared, what did he do? But he saved us. Saved us from what? Death, sure, but more than just death. No, he actually attacked the very thing that suppressed truth in our lives, which is unrighteousness. Paul would talk in Romans chapter 1, he would talk about how this unrighteousness that we had, it suppressed the truth, it suppressed our ability to be able to see what truth is. And so here is the kindness of God that doesn't save us based upon anything that we had to offer. Even our most righteous deeds, scripture says, are like filthy rags. But he instead saves us based on something about himself. It wasn't what we had to offer. It was him. Something that speaks to who he is. Jesus revealed that the Father had not come merely just to cover sin, but to cleanse us of it. Look at this plague of death that he cleansed us from in John 3:5. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. All of us here started in water. All of us started born in water in our mother's womb, right? And I know people ask sometimes, why did God do it this way? Well, it speaks to him. It speaks to who he is. We're born in water, but then there is a regeneration. There is a rebirth that happens in spirit. It's found in Jesus. Paul calls it the washing of regeneration. He just talked about it a second ago. And hear me this morning when I say this. The washing of regeneration is Christ performed. It is something that he does. Romans 6:4 says this, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we might walk in newness of life. Newness of life, regeneration. And if that wasn't enough, our God promises to never leave us, to never forsake us. He pours out his Spirit upon us and he says, I'm never, ever, ever gonna leave you. I will never, ever, ever leave you, and you will forever be unified, not only with a God, but you will be unified with a God who looks like kindness. You'll be unified with him. And therefore, we are heirs to eternal life, Paul says. We inherit life everlasting because that's how much life God brought to us in Jesus. Let's read it together in John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus said. But I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. To have something that goes beyond what's expected. And that's the thought we need to have this morning, was it wasn't what we expected. We did not expect kindness. That wasn't what we were looking for. It's why we typically don't object, right? Others who believe different things, we don't object to a God that holds us to what we do. And if you break the rules, then you're out. We still worship these gods because it speaks to our flesh, but that's not our God. Instead, the kindness that is spoken about is Jesus. Kindness of God appeared. Grace appeared. And this was not God doing us a favor, it was God revealing his favor to us. It's a major difference. He wanted us as family. He wanted you as family. Ephesians 1:5 says that he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to what? The kind intention of his will. It has always been the plan because he is kind, but not as we know it in our language. See, we know this, that our language, we try to translate words, and some of these words don't translate as easy as others. And kindness is one of these words that in our language today we find limitations. But when we look at the original language of the word, we look at the culture, we look at the history, we look at the places it's being used, here's what we see. We find a Hebrew word. I'm going to try my best here. I believe it is chesed, and it means favor, if I quickly define this. He is the favor of God made manifest to us. The majority of Scripture, if you look through, in the majority of places that this word is used, it actually means mercy. So we hear kindness and we think of a favor. Well, it also means mercy. It means goodness. It means loving kindness. And all of these, this is 99% of the time that this is the way that it is used. And all of these things appeared to us. Gosh, put yourself in the story and imagine. He wasn't a good teacher. He was the Son of God. And 99% of the time when we hear this word kindness, these are the kinds of things that it means. And they appear to us tangibly. And as 1 Peter says, taste the kindness of God. In other words, experience. Come into an experiential relationship with God. And you can do that today. His kindness is what led him to take every single sin of the world upon himself. He removed this inability to see. He removed the obstacle, but he didn't just remove the hindrance from seeing him, but instead, as a loving fiance, he takes your hand and he walks you to God. This is one of the most amazing things about his kindness, that in his kindness, he takes us by the hand like maybe you would take a small child, and he says, come here, I want to introduce you to the Father. I want to introduce you through me. I want to show you this loving Father. We were a harlot who had broken his heart, and he leads us tenderly back to the truth. Look at 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, he set the captives free. That's what we're celebrating this morning. Our risen Savior means that he set the captives free. He set you and he set me free. The Bible says that whatever is bound on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever is loosened on earth is loosened in heaven. Isn't it amazing to think that Jesus set us free? And if you are free, you are free indeed. Now, Scripture talks about this kindness in great detail. All over Scripture, let's pull from a few different places. The prophet Isaiah would say it this way. He would say that God's loving kindness towards you is innumerable. You can't quantify the amount of loving kindness he has towards you because it is who he is, and he also engages us by it. Abundant kindness. We're told that his loving kindness towards us is everlasting, that what was born in eternity continues forevermore. Jeremiah 31:3 will say that I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with kindness, with loving kindness. But there's more than just that, because Jesus, the personification of God's love towards us, and his kindness is also our covenant guarantee. See, this word kindness, when it's used in Scripture, is often surrounded by either concepts of salvation or covenant relationship. And I don't believe that is by mistake. Kindness is therefore rooted in this idea that we can have relationship with God. I mean, if you just think about that for just a moment. We hear some of these things in our language and we forget just how impactful they are. If you think about it, God wants a relationship with you and he expresses that to you in kindness. Look at Isaiah 54:10. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you. My covenant, there's that word of peace, will not be shaken. He is eternally bound to the promise he's made with his Son. And Jesus invites you to receive what he has received from the Father. Our Prince of Peace is our covenant of peace, and we just read that will never, ever be taken away. And our world is desperate for peace. Our world today is more desperate for peace than it's ever been. And can I tell you that the only place you will find peace is in Jesus? He is the only place that you will find it. His loving kindness, his goodness, His faithfulness, his mercy, it leads us into a covenant relationship, a union with God. Just think about that this morning. Hosea 2:19 says this, I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in loving kindness and in compassion. But to fully grasp this idea of kindness this morning, I want you to picture it this way. Many of us, if you had a match profile or some kind of dating profile online, you probably would not lead with all of your faults. You probably don't put those things on there, right? We try to make ourselves sound great, attractive, if you will. And so you, probably none of us in the room would put pathological liar as like a plus, you know, like I just love to lie like crazy. Many of us would not put any kind of murders that may have taken place in our lives. Hopefully there's nobody here like that this morning that... Just waiting to see what happened there. But we wouldn't put all of these real defaming things about ourselves. We wouldn't lead with those things. We wouldn't say, yeah, I've only had 3 affairs, you know, it's not a big deal. We wouldn't lead with that, and yet that's who we were when he found us. That is the kindness of God. And I'm going to demonstrate something to you in a moment that I saw in Scripture as I was preparing for this. I hope that you can see the kind of kindness that I'm talking about, because he is God and we are created beings. It's mind-blowing to think about the kindness of God coming to someone who hated him, who refused him, who did not believe in him. And Jesus, when he was teaching once, this is how he said it. Now read this with some new eyes this morning. Luke 6:27-36. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. See, this in this moment, this is when they're going, wow, Jesus, you are so profound. You're giving this wonderful teaching, right? I know people that tell me that the point of Jesus coming wasn't to save anyone, it was to give us this wonderful instruction. But listen to this through the lens that Jesus would have been saying this through. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. He's talking to us. He's saying, this is what I'm doing. I'm doing this. Whoever hits you on the cheek, and they did, offer him the other one also. Whoever takes away your coat, don't withhold your shirt from him either. They would gamble for his clothes right in front of him. He not only gave his coat, he gave his shirt. He was stripped bare. He was naked. Give to everyone who asks of you. Whoever takes away what is yours, don't demand it back. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. Oh my goodness, do you hear God's love in that? He gave us, he loved us so that we would love him. Treat others the way you want to be treated. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? And he goes on to talk about, look, everybody can love somebody who loves them back. We can all love, even sinners, even people that don't know God at all could love someone who loves them. He goes, that's no big deal at all. But he continues, but we skip on. He says this, but love your enemies. Do you understand we were enemies of God at this point? He loved us, but we did not love him. He says this, now catch this. Love your enemies and do good. Lend expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. You'll be sons of the Most High, for he himself is what? Kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, that word kind again, just as your Father is merciful. Oh, his kindness and his grace are nothing that this world has ever seen. He promises to be merciful, which means kindness. He promises that his goodness is towards us and good towards all that he has made. That's kindness for everyone. He promises to love you with an everlasting love that leads you into a covenant relationship with him where death will never separate us. He chose to marry the adulterer. He chose to marry the pathological liar. He chose to marry the sinner. And how does he do that? He does that by revealing himself. Because his love transforms us from those sins, those sinners, into saints who don't have any sin attached to them at all. Oh, that's such wonderful news this morning. Romans 2:4 says this, "Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance?" That word repentance comes from the word metanoia, and it means to change your mind. In other words, sit down at the coffee table this morning on this wonderful Easter Sunday, and you're going to have a moment in a minute where you can do this. Sit down with him and examine your life and just say, wait, am I holding life in my hands, or is this just air in my lungs? Is this life, true life, life to the fullest, or is this something that I've created? God takes us by the hand. Jesus takes us by the hand, and he brings us in close. He goes, watch, I'm going to show you what kindness looks like. Kindness is about to appear before your eyes. And then he gets up on a cross. But Jesus was not a victim. This was planned for. Psalm 89:30-37. If his sons, we're talking about David here, if they forsake my law and do not follow my statutes, if they violate my decrees, if they fail to keep my commands, I'll punish their sin with the rod, their iniquity with flogging. But I will not take my love from him, talking about David, nor will I betray my faithfulness. I'll not violate my covenant or alter what my lips have uttered. Once and for all, I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David, that his line will continue forever. We're talking about Jesus now. And his throne will endure before me like the sun. It will be established forever like the moon, the faithful witness in the sky. We never understood reading these scriptures that when it talks about floggings and beatings, we assumed it would be well-deserved because we did this. Instead, we know that it was all given to his son for us. His son took all of the beatings. His son took all of the floggings and in return looked at the creation and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know. They have no idea. And this happened because Ephesians chapter 1 says that before anything ever was, he had centered on you as the focal point of his love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God because he's never going to stop loving his son. But he didn't stay in the grave, did he? We're not just celebrating his death today, but we're celebrating a resurrection. We celebrate the new life that he shares with everybody who will believe. Look at this in John chapter 11. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And then he asked her, do you believe this? Do you believe this? It's a question every one of us in this room have to answer. Will you believe this? Look at Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to land this thing. Instead of wrath, but God being rich in mercy, kindness, because of his great love with which he loved us, kindness, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, kindness, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, kindness, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Just like Mary Magdalene, she ran to the grave, she ran to the tomb, discovering it was empty. This morning, I want you to reflect just for a moment on his kindness. We're gonna sing a song this morning, and I really don't want you to sing, really, unless you want to. I want you to reflect on this kindness that I'm talking about this morning. God revealed kindness to us. The love of God was on full display in Jesus. And not just his death, but the resurrection life that he offers to you this morning and says, hey, if you don't have it, you can come get it. He offers it to every single one of us because he is kind. So this morning during this song, maybe you've attended a church before where there's some kind of an altar call or response time. I'm gonna tell you how I want to do this morning because see, the truth is, this is a heart thing that happens. I don't need to see it. God does, because this is so cool for you guys. So this morning, as we sing this song and you're reflecting on this kindness of God, if you feel in your heart a tug, if you feel in your heart, I don't have this kindness in my life, I don't have Jesus, I don't have life, you can have it this morning. And can I tell you that there's no sinner's prayer? There's no sinner's prayer in the Bible anywhere. We have a thief on a cross next to Jesus who says, remember me. That was it. The Bible says that if you believe, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So this morning, call upon him and reflect on his kindness.